Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports domestic microbrews. Oh, a nice cold beer would be great about now, wouldn't it? Or any time in this hot weekend. Wine coolers, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. Love the Bills. Love the Dills and love the barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Phil Mickelson leads the British Open by a shot over Henrik Stenson, 69 today. But yesterday, he shot a 62 and lipped out a putt on 18 that would have set not only an Open, but a Grand Slam tournament record with a 62. He talked to the BBC.
Did it stay out? A putt to make golfing history.
Where does that record equaling 63 stand in the list of great career rounds for Phil Mickelson?
It was certainly a great round, but I had great conditions, and it wasn't, you know, the final round of Muirfield will always be most likely my best round of my career. But this was a tremendous round, but I had a chance to do something historical on that 18th green, and I'm just heartbroken that it didn't go in. I thought it was, well, I know it was right in the center there with a foot to go, and it just didn't go.
When you released the ball from the blade, did you think that it was going to go in then?
Well, it started online, and I hit it solid, so I hit the right pace, and I hit it online, and it looked like I had read it right, and with a foot to go, I knew it was in, and I went to go get it. I felt that surge of adrenaline that, you know, I just shot 62, and then I felt the disappointment of not shooting the 62 and watching that ball lip out. It was heartbreaking.
Well, I mean, I broke 80 last week for the first time ever. I felt pretty good.
How about a fresca?
how about a fresca? And we're pals, Danny, right? We're pals, huh?
And when you walked back to your car, you said, yes, sir.
Hi, yes, sir. Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Earlier, I had a chance to talk to him about Lash Bash and the big weekend.
It's a very good one, Steve. You know, I think there's been a lot of Penn State fans that don't feel great about Penn State's recruiting of late, and it's within reason. They haven't had a commitment since April. They have had some pretty high-quality kids on campus this summer. Their camps have gone well, the ones they ran in June at least. They'll kick off their July schedule today, and it's their final weekend of camps in the summer. The satellite camps went well, so there were some positive nuggets recruiting-wise to take away from Penn State so far this summer. But at the end of the day, like wins, people like commits because they're wins on the recruiting trail, and Penn State hasn't had one since April. So they're going to have a good weekend here getting kids in, a lot of four stars, a lot of high three stars, and a pretty nice group of underclassmen coming in as well. I think people forget that Penn State really only has room for about 10 to 12 more kids in this class, so a lot of the look is to the future. They already got two kids in the class of 2018. They'll hope to bid on that either this weekend or sometime in the near future as the season gets closer, but I think it's going to be a very good weekend for Penn State, and I think it's going to be a successful one in terms of the building blocks for the future of the program.
It's also important to have those who have already committed to be a part of this. How strong is the contingent for 17? And you mentioned the 18 guys. Are they going to be part of the Lash Bash as well?
Yeah, as far as I know, Steve, all of them are expected to be on hand. There's eight, of course, in the class of 2017, two in the class of 2018. And last I checked with all those guys, they planned to be here. There were one or two that were kind of on the fence with travel issues, but it sounds like all those have been solved. They either found family rides, friends, what have you, teammates, recruits close to the area. So it sounds like they're all going to be there, and that's very important. You know, you remember the first one of these they got some really good momentum out of it, not necessarily because of what the coaching staff did or because of what the kids saw on campus. Those things were important, but they sat around in a circle and the commit sat in the circle and they just fired, answers to the questions that the uncommitted kids had. So you can get a really good level of a feel as if you're an uncommitted kid when you get the chance to sit down with 10 kids that already picked the program. You can learn some things that maybe the coaches didn't mention or maybe forgot to mention. There's so many things that go on during your recruiting weekend that you really need those kids on campus to sort of not only build a sense of relationship with the uncommitted kids, but also sell the program and all the reasons they picked Penn State so early in the recruiting process.
Also this weekend will be Lift for Life. It will take place tomorrow at 11 on the lacrosse field adjacent to the multi-sport. When they have Lift for Life, what are a couple of items you look for right away?
Yeah, you know, I like to get a look at the freshmen, Steve. They've been running the kids clinic the last couple of years. That runs from 11 to 1 tomorrow. And you've been able to get just kind of a look at what they look like physically. You know, a lot of the rankings and the all-star games and whatnot, they're very good, but there's a lot of kids that aren't invited to those games or choose to play in those games, so you don't get to see a lot of these kids, you know, so it's a good chance to size them up and sort of see if their profile height and weight and the height and weight Penn State list sort of match up with what the kid actually looks like. So I always look for that. As for the event itself, you know, there's not a whole lot you can take away from it. Obviously every year there's a couple of guys that do some pretty extraordinary things either on the bench or in the tug of war or the running portion of it with the sand. I mean, there's all kinds of different things you could pick out. In terms of observations, I think you're just looking for guys that look different. You know, back at the start of spring practice, there were a number of guys who you got a good look at them at the first day of spring practice, and you could really tell they changed their body between the end of the season and the start of spring practice. And now you're kind of looking for that again. You're looking for guys like the early enrollees to see what kind of weight they've put on and sort of how they've changed their body. But you're also looking at guys like, you know, the redshirt freshmen and the redshirt sophomores that have been in the program for a while now, have really been hitting the weight room hard, and they can really start to change their foundation, which of course is going to change the way they play on the field as well.
This is the number one fundraiser among uplifting athletes across the country. How amazed have you been by the response that people have had monetarily to benefit kidney cancer research and uplifting athletes?
Yeah, you know, I think Penn State fans, when, you know, you talk about Don and you talk about some of the other charitable events that go on around the Penn State community year in and year out, you know, this is one of them that people have really latched on to because it's a chance to, you know, not everyone gets to come to State College, but it's a chance to sort of feel a part of the football program in the dead of July when you have a day like today and it's 92 degrees as I sit in Harrisburg on the way to State College. I'm told it's humid in State College, so there's not a whole lot to look forward to except the weekend. So you get people sort of excited about the upcoming season. You give them a chance to feel a part of the Penn State football family in the summer, and that's what a lot of people want, not to mention the ones that are able to come to State College and see it in person. And I think that, you know, the partnership they have with Arts Fest and sort of the timing of all of it really works to their advantage as well.
Earlier in the show, I was talking about the big picture of where Penn State football is right now. We can do, you know, short term is always the week by week evaluation of a season, but there's also when you have a chance like now to examine the big picture. And I talked about the recovery period that James Franklin has guided them through. Big picture, what's your impression about where they are and where they have a chance to go?
You know, they're closer to, you know, obviously the scholarship balance and the roster balance than they've been in a couple of years. So that's obviously a positive. I think the fact that kids are excited about Penn State. You know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, that there are kids excited about Penn State that are high four stars, five stars. And you talk about DeAndre Swift out of Philadelphia. And when you look at comparable programs in terms of teams that have scored a similar amount of points, had a similar record against top teams in their conference, so on and so forth, they're not recruiting those type of kids. So I think for Penn State fans, despite the lack of a commitment, the fact that they're involved with these kids at all speaks volumes to where these kids think that the future of the program is going, even if they don't eventually land those kids. Of course, if they do land those kids, the future might get here sooner rather than later. So I think that they're on the right track. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of questions going into this season, and, you know, we can review them endlessly, and I'm sure we will between now and September 3rd. But what it comes down to is they're working their way back, and that takes time. We knew that all along, but I think people are ready to see if the time is inching closer starting this year with a new offense and sort of some older guys in the program now and some hope at the younger levels in terms of redshirt freshmen and true freshmen that came in, that this is a talent level Penn State needs to compete with the big programs in the Big Ten. So I think the general pulse of the fan base seems pleased with where things are, but they certainly would like to see a little bit more than they've seen the last 2 years this season. And Penn State has a pretty daunting schedule that if it is able to succeed, it will show that progress with no doubt.
And it's a team that will only have 11 seniors on it, Greg. It essentially is a young football team. So when you look at what will be a couple of storylines that you're going to start looking at once a weekend like this is done and then they start locking in on the preseason practices and media day.
Yeah, there's a couple things. You know, I think the linebacker situation obviously is one that's going to be watched closely, because once you get past the top five of Jason Kabinda, Manny Bone as the backups, and Brandon Bell, Jason Kabinda, and Jay Cooper's backup, and then Jason Kabinda, Brandon Bell, and Naeem Wortman as the starters, there's not really a whole lot of proven depth there. So I think that's going to be an issue. They're going to have to work around that, because obviously if one of those guys would go down there, there'd be an issue. I think the trenches are going to be key yet again. You know, we talked a lot about the offensive line. We need to see what those guys can do, excuse me, Steve, this year. But we also need to see what the defensive line looks like. They have a lot of places to replace there. And I think that Sean Spencer's track record speaks for itself in terms of his ability to develop guys. But again, when you don't have the same level of reps and the familiarity that some of the guys they lost did, obviously it's going to take time to transition. So those two things, and then, I mean, let's be honest, Joe Moorhead's offense is going to be talked about in the quarterback battle until the really start of the season and those types of things. So, you know, that's going to be discussed ad nauseum between now and then. So I think that, you know, that's an obvious one. But I think overall, the season just needs to get here. You know, they obviously need camp to prepare and whatnot. But, you know, if you talk to fans and people around the program, I think a lot of them are just excited to get out there and sort of showcase all the things they've been talking about for the last, you know, few months now since Joe Moorhead got here and since spring practice ended, because the talk is great and I know it has a lot of people excited, but of course you have to see it on the field, and I think that's going to help Penn State both in terms of the perception of the program and the recruiting aspect of it as well.
Big Ten Media Day is coming up. SEC Media Day wrapped up this week in Hoover, Alabama, and there was one question that kept coming up over and over again to SEC coaches, and that dealt with IMG Academy and their thoughts about IMG Academy. On the recruiting trail, how often does that come up when you talk to players or anybody that may have a connection with IMG?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Steve. I don't hear it come up a whole lot. You know, it just hit Pennsylvania. Sheen Young, big-time safety, 2018 kid. He's going to be a junior out of Philadelphia. He's heading down there. He actually was at Penn State yesterday, and he's getting set to head to IMG this weekend. A couple other Pennsylvania kids down there, Robert Hainsey, who commits to Notre Dame. He's a senior, used to play in the Whippeal. Chris Bleich, of course, who's committed to Penn State, was at IMG. He came back to finish his high school career at Wyoming Valley West. So, I mean, other than that, there's not a whole lot of connections either in the Keystone State or as it relates to Penn State. But certainly it's a power program, and it's exciting a lot of kids and families. And, you know, other than that, like I said, I haven't heard a whole lot about it. I know it was a pretty good talking point at SEC Media Days, as you note, but in terms of, you know, the general conversation between recruits and people around the program and so on and so forth, you don't really hear it come up all that much. I mean, I think that at some point it might be addressed, either that or they'll become more of these type of schools one way or the other. But right now you don't hear too much about it, Steve. Obviously they get a lot of good kids at that program, and there's no shortage of kids that would, you know, gladly take up the opportunity to go there if it was offered to them. But you know, I don't think it's necessarily caught on to be a national conversation yet, but it certainly probably is getting close.
I think what Michael O'Connor was out of there at one point.
He was, and correct.
And Danny Morrissey, who played basketball here, was out of IMG. So I mean, it's not as if it has not ever been something that Penn State has not been able to get connected into. They've been able to get connected into. I was just surprised at how often it was brought up, Greg. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that's some sort of big national trend, or if it's just like for the moment because that's where Harbaugh took the team to practice.
I think that probably had a pretty big thing to do with it. Obviously, the SEC wasn't totally thrilled with that whole venture that the Michigan team took. But yeah, I think ultimately it's sort of a yearly thing too, Steve. You know, it depends where the new group of kids are coming from. It seems to be a different part of the country gets more impacted than other parts. You know, obviously the South has so many talented playmakers. You know, there's certain states that get hit harder than others year in and year out down there. And that certainly brings it to the conversation in the state and the region down there. But the Mid-Atlantic really hasn't been impacted by it. You know, from a kid-to-kid basis at the high school level currently, there's not really a whole lot of impact on local football right now, but surely it'll grow. I mean, you know, like I said, Dasheem Young out of Philadelphia is sort of the start of kids in this state and in this area going down there, and it'll probably only grow. Robert Hainsey as well, as I mentioned. So, you know, I think it'll be discussed at some point, but at the end of the day, you know, by the rules of the high school federations and whatnot, you're not doing anything wrong. But I do wonder if it's not discussed at some point. And, you know, wherever that goes, obviously those discussions take a long time more often than not. But we'll see. It'll be an interesting talking point, I'm sure, this time around next year.
Greg, in the Mid-Atlantic, which would be Penn State's natural recruiting area, they can always go out and get players other places too. What is the depth of high school talent for the 17 class and the 18 class in the Mid-Atlantic?
Yeah, 17 and 18 are both very good. I like the 18 class a lot. You know, every time you look around the new rankings and whatnot, you see a lot of names pop up in terms of kids that are from this region. They're committing to big-time schools and or are getting, you know, evaluated higher after they go to camps and whatnot. I think Penn State sits in a pretty good place for 2018. They obviously have excuse me, Steve, some 2017 talent already in the boat from the Mid-Atlantic. They're eyeing up more, and there'll be some of those kids on campus this weekend. So it's definitely a good two cycles for the Mid-Atlantic, and really there's been a lot of good talent here for a while. That's why you've seen schools like Ohio State, Michigan, and so on really come in to the region, specifically New Jersey and Maryland, and try and pick the top guys in those states, because they just know that, you know, more than ever, there's just a high level of recruit in those areas that those schools want to continue on the path that they're on. And, of course, Penn State's after those kids as well. So it's very good, Steve. I think that, you know, it's very good for Penn State, but also, of course, you have new teams that maybe haven't recruited the Mid-Atlantic a ton now coming into it to see what they can find.
Greg, safe trip up here. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
You got it, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new Ford F-150. For the past 101 years, Sunbury Motors has helped over 40,000 new truck buyers find their next Ford truck. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks covering four city blocks. SMC has F-Series trucks with discounts up to 11 grand and starting at $22,749. The first 25 F-Series buyers will receive a complimentary accessory package of all-weather floor mats, molded splash guards, window vent chaise, and a pivot toolbox, all valued at $599. An incredible four city blocks of Ford trucks to choose from. Over 125 trucks in stock, $599 worth of accessories, all at Sunbury Motors, the dealer who has helped over 40,000 customers find the new Ford truck of their dreams. Hurry in to get your new Ford truck at Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150.
All right, great to have you with us today. As the Lash Bash is this weekend, it's an important recruiting weekend. All the February 17 commitments are scheduled to be here. The two February 18 commitments are scheduled to be here, along with a long list of other guys. So it's a big weekend. And, of course, you have Lift for Life. A lot of people will be in town for this. The arts festivals are going on right now. Still have not found dogs smoking cigars while playing poker or dogs smoking cigars while playing billiards. I saw them one time at a Waffle House in South Carolina. I've always kicked myself for not buying them.
Not too far from the studio. You got Lamont Fest going on too this weekend.
Yeah. Lamont. I saw the sign hanging up in the middle of the town this
morning. At the red light. Yeah.
At the red light.
Yep.
And that's not happening. All right. Yeah, the People's Choice. The 50th. The Central Pennsylvania Festival of Arts, the 50th anniversary of it. And so you got a lot of people in town for that. It's one of the reasons why the football players scheduled the Lift for Life on this particular Saturday, which will be tomorrow morning starting at 11. And
this is so you got a lot of people in town. Well, I mean, I was downtown for 2 hours before the show, and there are a lot of people here, which is nice. I mean, which is great. It's great for the downtown. It's great for the area. Great for the hotels. Great for the restaurants. And hopefully it'll be great for the charity, too, tomorrow. But I talked before Greg was on, you know, in the previous half hour. I spent the entire half hour talking about the big picture of where Penn State football is. You know, there, you've had to overcome some odds and some hurdles to bring the program back. And I think it's been difficult at times for some fans to grasp the difficulty of it because they're so passionate about it. And they want to feel like it's still 2007, 2008, 2009, you know, and so forth. And it's not. And it's not. Doesn't have the same numbers. Doesn't have the same continuity. Well, finally, you're finally starting to develop the numbers again. You're up to 81. You're finally starting to develop a little bit of continuity of guys returning, being multiple-year starters, and so forth, that are being developed by the staff. The team this year will have only 11 seniors on it. That's it, 11. And it is rare in my lifetime of doing this job of seeing 11 seniors on a football team. It's a startling number. But again, what happens is that when you're in that recovery phase, you start loading up numbers and loading up numbers and loading up numbers, and then you get really top-heavy in a couple of classes. And because of the sanctions, you're now, your senior class is the one that's bottomed out because you weren't allowed to recruit that many guys. I feel now in doing this job, a sense of normalcy has begun to return to the football part of the football program. That's why Jack Hamm and I were so excited about getting back in there for the next few years to talk about this.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Nice hot weather. We're in the upper 80s today. Some areas near 90. Nice, cold, refreshing beer. Maybe you like an import. Maybe you like a domestic. Maybe you a big fan of a microbrew. They have them all at Brewer's Outlet. Wine coolers, water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. That pickle bar is second to none. I love the pickle bar. Barrel pickles, dill pickles, my favorites, all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. All right, you had a nominee for Bozo of the Day, right?
I did, and it's a member of the Cincinnati Bengals, but it's not really a household name since he's an undrafted player. His name is Corey Tindall, and for some reason, he went to a Super 8 motel in West Virginia early Monday morning, he and a buddy, playing poker with two guys. They didn't even know their real names. They only knew them by nicknames. And one of the two guys said, "Hey, lay down, give me all the money." When he pointed a semi-automatic pistol at Tindall and the other guy. Tindall got hit twice on the top of his head with the barrel of the pistol. And the suspects, who are believed to be from Detroit, reportedly left with close to $2,500 in cash, three cell phones, and a set of rental car keys.
Oh, boy.
So as to whether they got the car to go with the rental car keys. We don't know, but
wow.
But luckily, no life-threatening injuries for Corey Tindall. But playing poker with two guys, you only know their real names in a Super 8. Wow. Come on.
No. Sports bozos of the day. All right. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And final half hour of the week. It's great to have you on board. Love to hear from you. See what you have to say. See what you have to think. All right. So let's get to it. And we'll talk with you. Tom Brady, by the way, is giving up the ghost. Not going to appeal to the Supreme Court. It's not going to do it. The reason he won't do it is just enough's enough after a while. All right. Who do we have on the line here?
We've got Tommy from Shamokin.
Tommy in Shamokin. Hello, Tommy. How are you today?
Well, I started out as Tony, but I guess I'm Tommy.
Oh. Ah, Tony. Now, if anybody would know by the voice, it would be me.
By the voice? What I want to say is about Penn State. I mean, I think they're in great shape. I think they're going to surprise this year, not next year, this year. I don't know how much of a surprise, but I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I think a lot of what they have to do in terms of doing what you're talking about, Tony, I think deals with the offense right off the top. I really like Joe Moorhead's offense because it fits Trace McSorley. It also fits Tommy Stevens. It fits Saquon Barkley. It fits the wideouts. It fits Miles Sanders. And it also fits the offensive line, which I think above all might be the largest component we're talking about here.
I think the offense is going to be, well, I think people are going to be a little surprised how good that offense should be. But, you know, and recruiting. To me, until the name's on the line in February, it don't mean a thing. And
no,
I don't know how much, I don't know how much negative recruiting is out there, but I'm sure there's a lot of it against Penn State. And to me, that don't say nothing for the school that's doing it. If they can't talk about their own school, and they have to be negative about another school. What does that tell you about that school and that program?
Oh, I think you make a point that I have made for years about recruiting and negative recruiting over and over and over again. If you are really confident in your product, really confident in what you have, really confident in what you have to offer, you tell them what you have and what you have to offer. I think it's as simple as that. I'll give you an example in our business. How often have you heard us talk about another show on this show?
Very seldom. Only good things when you do.
I mean, there's no reason to. I feel very confident in the product that we're putting out, the guest list that we put out, so I don't really pay attention to what other people do. I try to pay attention to what we do. And James Franklin's not a negative recruiter. He has been stung by negative recruiting along the way. But again, you're right. You've got people out there that don't have the confidence in their product, their program, or their own ability. So they've got to put down somebody else as to, well, why do you want to go there?
Exactly. And, you know, just this latest fiasco that has come out. And some of our local papers, which I won't name their name, but you know who I mean. They jump right on it. This needs further scrutiny, et cetera, et cetera. That is such bull. I don't want to use the words I really want to use.
I thought you did pretty well with the word you did.
And, I mean, it's just getting beyond ridiculous. I mean, don't facts mean anything anymore? I'm sure they don't.
And then publicly, Tony, I said this last week, and it bears reiterating. I said, we have now become a society, and it's become a profession where it doesn't matter what truth is said. It matters what is repeated. And if you're able to repeat over and over and over again a narrative, you can get people to believe the narrative that you repeat. What is reported and what is repeated are two different things, and repeating seems to win the battle every time.
we've become a nation of sound bites. And
no question.
And you see these people constantly on their cell phones, constantly texting. They don't know how to look at a fact. One or two sentences, that's enough for them. Right there, we got the whole story in two sentences. I'm beyond tired of it. I don't even pay attention to it anymore.
That's the difficult part, because in order to go through this, you have to be able to read it. Really go through it. But the problem I have with this entire scenario that we have laid out in front of us is that we have yet to receive in any way, shape, or form, because of circumstances, context. Critical people within this that could lend context to what we have seen, read, or heard, or repeated, have either passed away or are currently not in a position to say something because they're under indictment. So without perspective, without context, without some balance where you can then sit there and make your own judgment after listening to someone as to whether you believe them or not, you're only stuck at this point with just one side, and it is assumed that whatever is put down is fact. And in reality, you can't have that until you have certain questions answered by those along the way who can provide context with their answers.
I mean, what we miss in journalism, I think, is the reporters and the so-called alleged journalists, they have an agenda. It's not news reporting. They have an agenda, and they report strictly on their agenda. They do not bother to read the facts. They do not bother to look into the story. Even if they do, they're going to print their agenda. I mean, there are some people that I know, they know what's right and what isn't right. They'll still print their agenda. And my blood pressure is going up, so I got to stop.
Well, I'll just close out before you have to take medication with this point. One of the great shames in my business that I don't like and have never liked in the 35-plus years I've been in it, I'm talking about the radio business, is that I never have liked the ratings. Never have. And, now, have I been in rating situations where we've been number one? And they're like, yeah, of course. And, of course, you're trying to sell. For example, we have Brewers Outlet today. We've got Sunbury Motors today. They're critical to what we do. I mean, it allows the show to be on. So your sponsors are critical. But you have people who can take and twist numbers to try and get you to believe that they're drawing more audience and so forth. And I think that's taken away from the freedom of really doing good radio and being in a homogenized world because you're a slave to trying to do ratings. I think that's the biggest problem that we have in journalism today. In journalism today, it is how many clicks did you get? How many social media followers do you have? And by the way, did you see last night we ran that story and we got a 4.6 rating? Right? Now, it doesn't matter if the story's junk, but but if you can do something with a lightning rod to draw readers, viewers, or listeners, you do that, even though it might not be right. And that part is the part I don't like. Clicks, ratings, and how many followers do you have are more important than the facts. And as far as I'm concerned, if you actually do shows that where you talk about facts and you do write words based around facts, I actually believe you're going to get more clicks, more viewers, more listeners. And the reason being is that you then draw a critical word that is so important that people don't talk about much anymore, called respect.
There you go. Well, you nailed it, Steve. As far as I'm concerned, Now I can get my medication, and I'll stop at one of your sponsors, Guru's Outlet, and get it.
It's now become a perfect world, Tony.
Have a great day and a great weekend, guys.
You have a great weekend, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
1-800-795-9565. We'll wrap up the week in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by the aforementioned Brewers Outlet. What's left of the athletes that still want to participate? We welcome you to Rio. Hold on. A mosquito. Okay.
This is actually
NBC in conjunction with the Open Championship brings you the suit live from a beach. Sponsored by Off. Well, it's good to see NBC back doing the Open Championship. Kind of miss them on the U.S. Open. And then the Olympics, of course, are next month, and I believe that the club champion, the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, is representing the U.S., and even he thought about backing out.
I'm kind of a day late, but I thought I'd break out the Yanni.
There you go. We love Yanni. Yeah. Not really. All right, but still, it's fine. Yeah, I think they mean, I always felt about this in this business. Now, I'm older now, obviously, probably a little freer to talk about it. Well, I guess we'll find out by the end of the show. but I never liked that aspect. Well, you're not doing well. The ratings say, you know, the ratings what? You can't accurately tell that stuff. And, for example, it's how many clicks do you now get? How many people follow you on social media? We got a 4.6 rating for doing it that day. We got 3.2 the other day. What's the difference between the two? I mean, now you can rate yourself into the turf and take away the freedom to really do good and creative work where you're not bound by clicks, ratings, followers, things like that, where the bottom line is the work, not how exciting the work may be at the moment. Can you come up with, for example, I can tell you right now what happened on Tuesday. I can tell you right now, the first thing, what do you think the first thing certain individuals did with the depositions? The first thing they did. They combed through and they looked for one name and one name only. What was the name they looked for? Joe Paterno's name. So that was the whole thing. Where is he mentioned? Where is he mentioned? Where is he mentioned? Where is he mentioned? Okay, there, I got it. Okay, there he's mentioned right there. Okay, then look at this part right here. Okay, then go through. All right. Then they started doing some other secondary stuff. Because why do you do that? The reason you do that is that that is the most sensational part of the whole thing. He is the name that draws you into a story. He's the name that draws you into wanting to click on to read it or to tune in to listen to it or to watch it. So that's probably the first thing that they did. There's no context. There's no perspective on what it is. Because we haven't heard yet from the people that have the opportunity to deliver some context. You know, what did this email mean? What was this conversation about? When did you first know? You know, things like that, where you can finally let it all out there and in the open where people can freely talk about it and can do it from all sides and not just take it consistently from one side. And that's been the nature of this since day one. Essentially, you've had people that have not been able to respond and to give, quote, their side of the story. Thus, to give us an opportunity to say, you know what, that makes sense, I believe it, or you know what,
I listen to it. I'm not buying. I can understand why this is a gigantic problem, but only after you're done listening to them. And that's been, again, I remember years ago, a friend of mine working at ESPN, and this is years ago, he said, let me give you, he says, what are the keys to what we're doing on SportsCenter? I said, sure. He said, the keys are Tim Tebow, Brett Favre, LeBron James, Tiger Woods. And then he mentioned, I think, three others. There were seven key names that if they could somehow weave those names into SportsCenter, at least three of them, that gave the, here's the, hey, Tiger Woods to what? What? Now, what about LeBron James? You know, what about Brett Favre? What about Tim Tebow? I mean, that was the key for them, weaving those names into the broadcast, more stories about them, because they felt that that was the draw to get you in there. It didn't matter if they really weren't making any news at the moment. It was to get you to pay attention. Those were the key names that spanned a couple of big seasons out of the year. I mean, I'd see you're talking about probably August 1st until June 15th. There's a way to weave those names in everywhere to June 30th. There's a way to weave those names in everywhere in 11 months. There were no baseball names in there, if I recall. Now, obviously, no hockey names. I'm trying to think if they mentioned at this point it was Danica Patrick mentioning her as one of them. It might have been. But that's where we are now. Right? How can I possibly attract you, the listener, to the show? How can I, now we try to do it, I think, with really good guests. And also, let's face it, I do come from a perspective based on the position I've been very fortunate to attain in my lifetime and career where I can give a perspective because I've been around and seen a little bit more because of the access I've been given. So you try to weave those two things, great guests, and then that perspective to see if you can do something. Now, for some people, obviously, it works and they enjoy the show. Some other people, no, it doesn't, because it's, again, it's all subjective. But it's not about clicks, it's not about ratings, and it's not about how many social media followers you have. You know, are you doing good quality work? It's not about yelling to the highest hilltop and then shouting somebody else down. Are you doing good? I am still a firm, old-fashioned believer that good, quality, honest work can win people over without being sensationalistic. Hopefully it works for all of you. I hope. Have a great weekend.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.